There's a place in the Gospel of John where Jesus says, the Father is working and I am working. The Father is working and I am working. And that was a pattern that was so clear to him that he was able to outpicture all the gifts of God. Now, we have a phrase in Unity that says, let go and let God. And sometimes what we take that to mean is, let go and don't do anything, God will do it all. But that's not what it means. It means let go of the way that you're thinking about it. Let go of the way that you think it has to be done. God's already doing something. Do what God is doing. Work with what God is doing. And so that's the opportunity that we have in every moment, is to find that. We have a part to play. We have something to do. And so we need to do it. We need to fulfill that. The scripture that we have today is always one of my favorites. God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he's saying, see, some of the translators say, behold, but he's saying, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? In other words, don't you see it? Don't you see what I'm doing? He says, I am making a way in the desert. So, and what that means is that any of those places in our lives where it feels like there's not enough, any places where it feels like there's no track for us to follow, any place in our life where it feels like, you know, there's nobody around, God says, I'm making a way in the midst of that. And he says, I'm making streams in the wasteland. In other words, I'm going to bring a flow of living water, a flow of blessings to where you are to bring forth that good. So God says, see, I'm doing something new. Don't you get it? Be a part of it, and be a part of what that living water, what that energy is doing in our lives. Sometimes we feel like we're stuck in a rut. And St. Paul said the only difference between a rut and a grave is that a grave is closed on both ends. And so we don't want to be stuck in a rut. We want to break out of that. But what we find many times, we have habits that we have done, sometimes short time, but many times for a long time, that we do those same things, we say those same things, we think those same things over and over again. In fact, brain scientists have found that there are pathways in our brains that if we think the same thought over again, it makes it easier to think it over and over again. And so we get stuck in those patterns. Sometimes we get caught up in the fear that is around us or within us. One of our prayer chaplains got a call from someone, and she's all concerned about, you know, the end times and the book of Revelation and all that kind of stuff. And that fear is there, but we can break out of that because God is doing something new, and we are moving with that if we choose to be a part of that in our lives. One person between service was sharing what his resolution was: to replace the fear of the unknown with curiosity. And so instead of fearing the unknown, be curious about the unknown and enter into it in a deeper way. And so we want to do a new thing, to move in a different way. Last week I talked about the power of vision, how that moving beyond just what's in front of us that our eyes can see, and to see the possibilities of God, the greater good that's available to us. And once we catch even a part of that, our job then is then to do something about it, to take what we see and to act on it, to live from it, and to trust that God is working in our lives in a greater way. Because what I have found, that as God stirs things up in our lives, either we are growing or God will prune us. So that's our choice. Are we choosing to grow, or are we going to let God prune us? I choose to grow. And that means we have to let something new move into our lives in a greater way. And it's important when we're facing something new, when we're making a choice to do something new, to recognize that it will be challenging for us because we get so used to doing things in a certain way that we do them over and over again without even thinking. And so we need to be aware that as we're feeling that stirring of spirit within us, that there's going to be a restlessness where we feel, okay, this is not working for me anymore. I want something more. And spirit is stirring up new ideas, new energy, new visions in us. And it's going to make us uncomfortable. And that's okay. Because again, either we're going to be growing or God's going to be pruning. And so we want to see that this unsettled feeling, this restlessness that we have, is just a part of the process. It's a part of that change that moves. It's a part of that urge for something greater to be working in life. Last weekend, we spent some time doing some yard work, and Meredith cut back all our roses And there's already new shoots that are taking, that are already rising out of. That's that energy of God wanting to come to new life. And so that restlessness is just an indication to us that Spirit is stirring something new. And then as we make the changes, what we find is that we will feel unsettled during that process. As we stop doing things the way that we used to, as we stop hanging out, you know, maybe in some of the places we've been hanging out or having the conversation that we've been having, as we begin to do something new, we will feel different. We will feel unsettled, and it won't quite be something that we're sure of. And again, that's okay, because as we move in a new way, as we let something new emerge from us, it's going to be unfamiliar. It's not going to be something that we recognize. And so that unsettledness is, again, another sign that we're in a process of unfolding something new in our lives. And then even after something new is established, there's still a time of adjustment as these new patterns fit into our life. As these new experiences, maybe some new relationships come, we have to adjust the rest of our life to make it something that's larger, to make room for that new good in our lives. And so through all of these unsettled, restless feelings, what's important for us to do is to connect with Spirit, and we do that with the breath, to breathe. Just to practice that breathing of saying, okay, I'm present. I'm not going to get caught up in the fear. I'm going to be present to God. And so I want to invite you to think about three ways to use this breath that we have. Remember that in the ancient language of Hebrew, the ancient language of Sanskrit, most of the ancient languages, breath and spirit are the same word. So that when we take a deep breath, what we're doing is we're making a signal to ourselves that we're connecting with Spirit. So the first breath is to let go. And one of the things I like to do here is as you take a breath and as you let it go for this release is to make a sigh or even a moan as you let it go. So let's just practice this. So take a deep breath and let it out with a sigh. Doesn't that feel good? And it helps release the tension, helps release the sense of where we were and what we're caught up in. And it opens up a way to start something new in our lives. Another way of putting this, I like to say that we need to be permeable to Spirit and need to see that those situations in our lives that seem stuck, that person that seems like they're never going to change, to see that, no, everything, everyone is permeable to Spirit. Something new, God is stirring up here. We want to make sure that we're making space in our thinking, in our beliefs, in our attitudes, in our expectations for God to bring something new. So we have to open up a space for that in our lives. The affirmation that I invite you to be using in this process is this: God lifts up new blessings through me. Let's say that together. God lifts up new blessings through me. And again, God lifts up new blessings through me. So we take that breath, we let it go, and then we say, God lifts up new blessings. And we make that space in our minds and hearts. And as we do this, we're no longer waiting for things to happen, but we're inviting a connection with Spirit to move things in a new way in our lives. There's another phrase, an old Unity phrase that I like a lot too. It says, God opens ways where to human sense there is no way. So think about the circumstances in your life, that situation that seems like it's never going to change, that illness, that financial situation, that relationship where it just seems like it's stuck. And if you take this thought in mind, God opens a way where to human sense there is no way, then you put yourself in that space of saying, God, I am permeable to your inspiration and guidance. I am open and receptive to what you are. Fill me with what you are. And so that's that sense that we have that we can do that. Now, at the beginning point, all you may need to do is just change your attitude. But eventually you'll have to do something. But this beginning to open up is so important, to move with an expectation that good things can happen. I'm no longer stuck. The situation is no longer stuck because we've let go, we've opened it up to Spirit. Sometimes we do need to practice in an outer way to help ourselves make this change. So if you're used to doing something with one hand, practice doing it with the other hand. Again, it'll make new pathways in the brain. You know, if you're used to going a certain way to work or to school or something, find other ways to do that. And every time you go, pick a different way to go. So that as you go, again, what you're doing is you're opening yourself up to possibilities. Maybe there's a routine that you have where, say, when you get up in the morning, you always do things in a certain order. Do them in a different order and watch what happens. Be aware of what happens And maybe there's some new ideas, new understanding. Maybe you realize I've been doing something. I don't really need to do this in the morning. I can do it later on. And you'll find that as you are willing to let go and make space for spirit, new things will happen in your life. So that's the first breath. Take a breath and release. The second breath is to take a breath to be present. So we take a breath and we imagine that we're now present to the presence of God. And I heard this phrase recently that I like a lot, I've been using. It's to find that space between your thoughts. And the film was called this The Silence. When we quiet our minds, we can experience the mind of God. So in order to find that space, we have to get between our thoughts because our thoughts are so busy, aren't they? The brain scientists again say that we have between 40 and 50,000 thoughts a day. That's a lot. So if all we're doing is just sort of grinding around with the thoughts that we have, we're not making space. And so this practice to take a breath and imagine that you're just breathing into a space between your thoughts to see something. So just practice that right now. So take a deep breath and then just breathe into a space between your thoughts. See if you can find that. And again, your thoughts will have a tendency to come back rushing in, but then you breathe back into that space between the thoughts. The Buddhists have a practice. They call it setting aside your thoughts. And so they're just going to be mindful, and when they have a thought, they set it aside. Have another thought, they set it aside. They don't judge it as good or bad. I'm glad I thought that. Oh, I wish I wasn't thinking that. They just set it aside. And so they can come to that space of clarity. That space that in the Hindu tradition they call nothingness. That's usually how it's translated, but it's really no thingness. It's where you're not attached to anything and you're just open to that space that is God within us, that presence of God. And again, in that space, God lifts up new blessings in us because we open ourselves to that. And again, this is a wonderful way to practice when we're facing challenges, when we face stress in our lives, is to be able, when something happens, somebody says something, that the first thing we do is take a breath to let go, take another breath and to be present to the mind of God so that we're thinking about what God would have us respond rather than just reacting with sarcasm or defensiveness or something. Come from that place that is consciousness. Come from that place that is that Christ mind within you, and it will give you what you need to know and what you need to do in that moment. When I was on a flight, I went to Orlando this week to be a part of some meetings, some planning meetings for our music ministry team for Unity Worldwide Ministries. And one of the pilots says, he was introducing themselves, you know how they come on the air and like to introduce themselves. He said, what we've learned as pilots is this, to face the wind, because that which pushes against you will lift you up. And I just thought that was wonderful. That which pushes against you will lift you up. So when we have a place of connection, this place of oneness with God that we can come from, we can face the challenges, we can face the difficulties, we can face what isn't the way we want it, and know that it won't knock us down, it will lift us up if we are conscious of the connection that we have with God in our lives. So face the things of life, not to defeat them, not to beat them up, not to see what's wrong with them, but face the things of life with the awareness that God is already working in this situation. God's already working in this experience of healing. God's already working in this place of our finances. God is already working in this relationship, and I'm working too. But it comes from that place of seeing that God is already present and working. Because again, we have this sort of fixed way of looking at things. You know, I've told some stories about my early training in Unity, and when I was going through the Unity Ministerial School back in the late 70s, early 80s, it was a time of transition for Unity School of Christianity and the Association of Unity Churches, as it was known then. And there was a lot of conflict and a lot of difficulty, and quite frankly, the Unity ministers were behaving very badly to each other. And it was amazing for me, there was two of these ministers' conferences that I went to, one while I was still a student and one when I was just ordained. And as I watched them interact with each other, I made a vow that I would never come back to Unity Village and have anything to do with these people. And I didn't for many years. And then there was an announcement that came out in the publication that said they were going to be forming a spiritual renewal team. And Spirit said, and you're going to be on that team. And I said, no, I made a vow, I'm not going to go back. Spirit said, you're going to be on that team. And I was, and it was an amazing experience, because what we committed to is that we saw that as a movement, as Unity Ministers, that we needed spiritual renewal. We get so busy with the business of church that we forget that why we got into it in the first place. And so we created these events for ministers and licensed teachers to come to, where they could spiritually renew themselves. Because if we don't have spiritual renewal as ministers, how are we going to lead that for other people? And so we created these events year after year after year for 2 decades, and they were amazing. And I believe that it helped shift the energy and the consciousness of our Unity movement, of our leadership there, because we kept reminding them, you need to be spiritually renewed. And many of them came and were a part of that. And some of the practices and things that we did, we'd hear about them talking among themselves and sharing with other people who weren't there, who got excited about that and began to make some shifts in their own lives. And so that's what we need to recognize, is that whatever is there in a material outer way, the Spirit of God is already within that, bringing forth a change, and we need to find what our part is to do it as well. To be permeable to Spirit and to ask, what's the new thing you want to teach me? What's the new thing you want to show me? And decide that you're going to be a part of that. Psychologists have found something recently that when we clench our fists, we make a choice to do something and we do it. You know, and it's like we sort of say, yes, I'm going to do it. And so the clenching our fists helps that resolve to see ourselves through with that. Here's a wonderful phrase. This comes from Ernest Holmes, who was the founder of Science of Mind. He says, all things are coming to you. Don't argue about it, just do it. And so the only way that we know that all things are coming to us is if we breathe into that space between our thoughts and connect with that mind of God, to that energy of God, that life of God, that peace of God, that joy of God that's there, so that we can then take our next breath, which then will energize and bless us. So, and I've got several words here. So the first breath, we breathe to let go, to release. The second breath, we breathe to come into that awareness of the presence of God. The third breath, that we take that presence and we begin to let it bless us in a physical way or through what we're doing in life. And so you could call it energy, to energize, to inspire. You could call it to infill or to heal. I like the word infilling, to imagine that the Spirit is infilling me, charging me with energy so that I've got energy to do the things that I need to do. So think of that breath as being that which then takes that presence of God and brings it to life through you, brings it into expression through you, so that you can be that blessing in the world. And it works in amazing ways. Again, we got to go to Orlando, Florida, which I love this idea, is that it's actually this week, beginning tomorrow, where most of the ministers go back to Unity Village near Kansas City for their mid-year meetings for whatever ministry team they're on. There's a snowstorm, right? You said there was a snowstorm in Kansas City right now. So they're going back to a snowstorm. I went to Orlando, Florida. And years ago when I was serving on the board for the Association of Unity Churches, I said, why don't we have our meetings someplace else in January? Any place else. Come to San Diego. You know. Let's go to Texas. I mean, almost any place I'd rather go than Kansas City in January. So we were there, and we had 3 tasks to accomplish in 2 days. They were, first of all, to plan our music conference that's coming up this July at Unity Village, to plan the conference for the following year, because we've decided that we needed to plan ahead, and then to listen to over 100 songs and evaluate them, and to pick 25 to go into a new songbook. We got it done in 1.5 days, because every time we got together, we'd start with prayer. And we'd take a break and come back, and we'd start with prayer. We'd end with prayer and come back and start with prayer and end with prayer. And that was our pattern. And we got all kinds of things done. And it was even interesting because, again, part of what was going on is that God was doing something new in us. And we look at some of the ways that we did, you know, some of the programs that we had, some of the ways that we started things and ended things as a part of the conference. And Spirit was saying, I'm doing a new thing. And it was interesting to watch the resistance on some of the members. But that's the way we've always done it. It wasn't broke. Why are we trying to fix it? You know, like, no, Spirit's calling us to something new. And so we got so much done, even with that resistance, in less time than we had planned for it. And see, that's what happens when we connect with Spirit and let it work through us. It can work in amazing ways. So one way that we could look at this is to say to God, God, make me new. But we can turn this into an affirmation like this: God makes me new, so that we own it for ourselves. And that we're not saying to something outside of ourselves, oh, God, make me new. We're saying, God, that presence of God, I connect. That was the second breath, right? To connect with that presence. And now I'm going to let it energize me. That Spirit of God, that life of God makes me new. Those ideas of God make me new. They're working through me in a new way. So there's all kinds of ways that you can customize this for yourself. God makes me new. God makes my life new. God makes my body new. And so again, whatever it is that you're working on, you can say that there's this energy of God. God is doing a new thing. God is making a way in the desert. God is bringing the streams to the wasteland. And I'm a part of that. I'm going to let that work through me. And that's what that third breath is, to feel that energy of God taking hold in you and living through you, coming to new expression in your life. So again, God lifts up new blessings in me. That's that affirmation that we said. With God's doing something new, we want to be a part of that. And I love, there's a wonderful quote from a philosopher, Goethe. He says, whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has a genius, power, and magic in it. So trust that it's the genius of God. It's the boldness of Christ that's working through you as you let this third breath energize you. Now, there's all kinds of ways that God stirs up new things. And it's interesting when we pay attention to what that's going on. Audrey had found a book called Beyond the First Visit. And it was an idea of how to be ready when people come to church for the first time. And so she told me about it, and I did some research on it, and I told the board about it. And three of the board members agreed to read the book and do a book report for the board. And then the rest of us board members, after we received their book reports, agreed to take that and turn them into action plans. So that's what we're doing. I'm really excited about this. But I just want to share two of the things before you hear the rest of that later on as we develop these plans. The first was, and this was, again, about an attitude, about rather than calling people who come for the first time visitors, to think of them and to call them guests. And think about the difference that makes. So if you have a visitor to your house, it may be a wanted or an unwanted visitor. But if you have a guest, you prepare for them, don't you? You welcome them. You open up the space of your mind and your heart and your home to make room for them. And so this is what I invite us to have. And those of you that are here for the first time, we welcome you as guests and hope that you feel that because many times people say that when they come to our church the first time, they say, I feel like I came home. Because of the energy and the welcoming and the ideas that, I remember the first time I went to Unity Church, I said, they're talking out loud about the things that I've been thinking for years. Yeah, I just thought, this, I want to come back. I want to be a part of that. And so that's that first step, is to have that sense of opening to everyone as guests. And then a part of that, and one of the things he talks about in the book, he called it the 10-foot rule. That if you come within 10 feet of someone, acknowledge them. And so I was thinking about this rule as I was traveling last week in the Atlanta airport. You know, can I practice this 10-foot rule with hundreds, with thousands of people around? And it was very interesting to do that, because what I found is that some people did not make eye contact at all. I don't know if you saw, there was a video that was out recently. This woman had her iPhone, and she was watching her iPhone. She was walking in a mall and walked in and fell into one of the fountains because she wasn't watching where she was going. So some people are closed off. But as I practiced that 10-foot rule, I had all kinds of amazing conversations with all kinds of different people, with parents, with kids, you know, with business people, you know, with all kinds of people, wonderful things that I found out and shared with people. It was a delightful time because I was expanded. Yesterday when we did our visioning session, Mark Ashley shared that years ago, when he was not able to hear, that he was very inside of himself. He said he would stand in line at the grocery store like this, or if he had a magazine or something, he would, you know, sort of bury his face in the magazine like that to, you know, sort of shut out the world. But once he got his implant and was able to hear, you know, Mark, he'll talk to anybody now, won't he? And it opened him up. And so that's that same thing. If you are willing to try this 10-foot rule, that if anybody comes within 10 feet of you, that you're going to acknowledge, you're going to look at them in the eye, you're going to nod your head, you're going to smile, you're going to say something, hello, that you're going to open yourself up, I guarantee that your life will change. Your life will expand if you do it. Because what you're calling on is a larger part of yourself that creates for you a larger life. So this is the gift that we have with these experiences. And there's another part of this. If we're going to do something new, it means that there are no benchmarks yet for it. It means that there's no right or wrong way to do it yet. It means that you can't be perfect because there's no way to measure that. Just do it. Just do it. And see what happens. Just let that Spirit of God move in you in a new way and watch the gifts, the amazing things that come forth in your life. The Spirit of God is stirring in you. God says, don't you see it? Behold, I'm doing a new thing. And all it takes for us is three breaths. One breath to let go of our resistance, of our fears, of our ways of seeing things are supposed to be. Another breath that connects us with that presence of God. And then a third breath that then energizes us to be that activity of God in the world, to be that blessing, to be a life-giving presence, to be the joy of Spirit in action, to be that livingness of God. God is doing a new thing. God is already at work. Let's work with God. Let's do this new thing that God is calling us to do. Let us pray. Dear God, we do give thanks to have that awareness that your presence is amazing. We let this moment and every moment be your moment of inspiration, of power, of blessing. We are ready to work as you direct us. We are ready to be channels for your complete blessing. We are ready to trust that you are guiding us and have provided us with all that we need to find the blessing in each moment and to be the blessing in each moment in our world. We are letting your Spirit do a new thing through us now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.